It's been nearly 25 years since the Supreme Court of Canada overturned the convictions of Donald Marshall Jr. and in doing so affirmed the hunting, fishing, and gathering rights promised to Indigenous peoples in the Peace and Friendship Treaties of 1760 and 61. These days, with three separate title claims laid out by First Nations in New Brunswick, the significance of the Marshall decisions has never been greater. And that's why Indigenous elders, scholars, fishers, lawyers, historians, and economists, among others, will gather this Friday and Saturday at Mount Allison for Rough Waters, a two-day workshop looking at the legacy of the Marshall decisions. CHMA called up organizer and Mount Allison professor Dr. Mario Levesque to find out more.
Now, obviously, you see the importance of this legacy of these decisions. What's your sales pitch to others who might not be familiar? Why is this decision worth paying attention to and worth studying?
It's very much worth paying attention to and studying because when you take a look about it, it's reassessing our relationship with Indigenous peoples in Atlantic Canada. For over 150 years, we've basically pushed them and marginalized them in terms of their own economy and also their participation in the broader economy. And what the 1999 Marshall decisions said is the fact that their historical treaties are still in full force and effect. And so when you're thinking about this here, then, is we have to adjust our economies, adjust our practices to include them fully in things as they are have a full right to be included in. So from that perspective there, it's about resetting the relationship and rebuilding that relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. And it goes back to the actual treaties of 1760-61. These are the peace and friendship treaties that I am talking about here. And in those treaties, basically, it wasn't about a cessation of land. What it was is the fact that we had agreed at that time to live together over the same territory in peace and friendship, so to share the land in here and to share its resources. And for too long, we've not been doing that, but since 1999, we've started to do a little bit of a better job in regards to the fishery. So for this here, the implications of it are is that it's not just about the fisheries here. Well, the workshop here is about the fishery, but more broader is about Indigenous, non-Indigenous relations in the Maritimes, which has great significance in New Brunswick at the moment, I must add, especially with three land claims that have been filed with the courts and the government in here. These land claims are going to be defined how our resources, our timber resources, crown lands, and minerals and are shared between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. So basically, we're moving to a new treaty agreement in the Maritimes.
Yeah, so people might associate the Marshall decision with the idea of fisheries, but really, as you say, this really can impact, you know, how we think about this legal relationship and what the peace and friendship treaties mean to, you know, today. And like, as you say, the future of the, you know, these negotiations that the New Brunswick government might be going into with the First Nations, both the Willistiqua and the Mi'kmaq, I guess.
That's absolutely correct in here. And basically the goal here of this workshop is the fact that 2 years ago I got together with my co-editors, the Honorable Graydon Nicholas and also Dr. Ken Coates, and we wanted to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Marshall decisions, which is next year, 2024. And so we decided to do a special issue of the Journal of New Brunswick Studies on this topic. And so we issued a call for participation for papers to explore different issues, where we are today, what other steps we need to take for a more equitable resource allocation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, and to explore the historical treaties and the actual relationship. Along the way, we said it would be a great idea to bring our contributors to the special issue together in a workshop to explore their contributions and to debate the issues. And this is what this workshop is this coming weekend, right now. From there, then, once the workshop is over, we will submit our papers for external review. Once that process is completed at the end of the year, then it'll be submitted for publication. And the final issue of the journal is going to come out in 2024 on the 25th anniversary of the Marshall decisions.
Now, you mentioned there'd be some debate. Do you think there will be, you know, some variety of opinions, some conversations that, you know, that show, I guess, different perspectives in this?
I think so, because I don't think we all think the same, and even when we're on, think maybe similarly, we have different ways of maybe getting there in our own logic and how we should do things as well. So, for example, on Friday night, we starting at 7 p.m. in the Crabtree Auditorium on campus, we have a fisheries reconciliation panel where we have the Director of Fisheries and Integrated Resources for the Atlantic Policy Congress of the Chiefs of the First Nations Secretariat, Melissa Nevins, coming in to speak. And she's also going to be joined by Martin Mallette, who is the Executive Director of the Maritime Fisheries Union. So here we have the leader of the non-Indigenous fisheries individuals and the leader of the Indigenous fisheries individuals coming together, along with Dr. Ken Coates in from Saskatchewan, who has written extensively on the Atlantic fishery, and they're going to discuss where we are today in as a result of the Marshall decisions, what are the outstanding hot-button topics that remain to be resolved in here, and what are some ways that we can maybe try to resolve this in here. So I think that this is important in here, and they won't necessarily all agree. They may agree that on where we need to go, but not necessarily how to get there, and maybe they don't even agree on where we need to go necessarily or how fast we need to get there. So I think that that's important to have that presented to people and to discuss and to reflect. And I think that's one of the biggest things right here because, especially in New Brunswick right now, and more broadly the Maritimes, but in particular in New Brunswick, First Nations communities and government relations has deteriorated over the past 4 or 5 years. You know, they don't want to do land acknowledgements or they have restricted land acknowledgements. They don't want to call in public inquiry into systemic racism into our judicial system in here that against Indigenous people. They did not even want to recognize September 30th, the National Day of Reconciliation, at the New Brunswick government. And so, and again, they ripped up the tax sharing agreements between First Nations communities and the New Brunswick government. So, you know, we need more positive news here. We need to develop some spaces for people to come together to discuss things, to explore the issues in here. And it's only through this discussion where we can try to resolve the issues. It's one venue where we can at least start this discussion and explore some of the issues that are at the heart of the conflict.
It sounds wonderful. So if people, you know, if people in Sackville in particular want to join the audience here, do they need to do anything in advance or can they just show up at the door kind of thing?
They can. It is open to the public and they can go to our Instagram page, Rough Waters Conference, or our Facebook page with the same name, Rough Waters Conference. They can see the conference program there. They can also register for it if they want to, but they don't even have to register. They can show up and they can attend. We have, but one thing that they can do is see the program and see all the different sessions and choose which ones that they would like to attend. It starts Friday at 12 noon in the Purdy Crawford Center for the Arts. And then Friday night, it goes all day Friday. Friday night, we have the reconciliation panel at 7 p.m. in the Crabtree Auditorium. And then on Saturday, back in the Purdy Crawford Center for the Arts, we have more paper presentations and keynote presentations as well, including the Honorable Graydon Nicholas, who's going to speak on the need for a modern treaty in Atlantic Canada. So we have a whole host of speakers coming in. There's about 17 individuals in total that are going to speak on the topic. And so it'll be for a very, very eclectic group of individuals. And I should add one more thing in here. Our very first speaker of the day on Friday at 12 noon, it would be Jane McMillan, Dr. Jane McMillan. She's at St. FX University in the Anthropology Department. She's a Canada Research Chair and also Donald Marshall's former spouse. And we invited her to speak directly on who Donald Marshall was. And we did this deliberately because there's a lot written about the court cases and all the positions and the conflict and everything else. But there's a lot less written on who the person was behind all these decisions. And so we thought that we need to understand the person in order to understand the issues that came afterwards. And we're very lucky she readily agreed, and so we're thrilled that she's coming here to speak to us. And her talk is called We Go Fishing. So she's going to talk about her experience getting arrested, actually, at the in 1993 with Donald, and this whole process that started the whole case. So again, another fantastic individual to have, and it's open to the public, and I look forward to seeing people there.
That's Mount Allison politics professor Dr. Mario Levesque. Rough Waters is happening this Friday and Saturday. We'll have links up later today at our story at chmafm.com.